Welcome to the CEN Show, the voice of the world community, the communityeducationnetwork.com, the podcast Conscious Corner, and this show are platforms to aid the effort of self and collective improvement. I am your host, Rasaki Mascani. The guest for this evening is Brother Straw. He's a comedian and an impressionist and an excellent one. He will discuss his new show coming out titled The Straw Show. And if I'm incorrect, he's going to correct me. I think it's titled that. And so I'm just roll with that until he tells me something different. If that's the case. Okay, this is his third visit to the show. And I've been knowing him about 30 years. A real good buddy of mine. And this guy has a knack for recalling all kind of sports activities, well, sports personalities, sports teams, TV shows, and amongst other things. He just has a king memory, you know, very keen memory. Very impressed with his ability to remember so many things. All right, Brother Pratt, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me. My brother.
Please tell us more about yourself, and then you can start your presentation, brother.
Well, Patrick Pratt is my name. PP with proper perspective. WPP with proper perspective, either or. It's a Straw Strategy Awareness is my stage name. That's my entertainment name. And it was cultivated by because I wanted to come up with something conscious. And Straw, some people had called me Strawberry from a character on the Cheech and Chong movie. Hey, man, I didn't know you were watching our movies at a young age, man.
Oh, yeah, man, he was watching our movies, man. Hold on.
He had a character named Strawberry on there. So I tripped off that and people started calling me him, but I wasn't acting like him. So I just turned it into something conscious, Straw Strategy Awareness. You know, listening to conscious rap like Public Enemy, KRS-One. You know, I dived into a little hip hop as well. So just trying to cover all areas. Basketball, like you said, we met a long time ago playing basketball. Compton used to come up to Carson Victoria Park. I think that's where we met, playing with all of the OG ballers. So, you know, I always remember Rico Moore. You remember one of the Carson homies, Curdy Moore. So, you know, that aspect we're going to cover on my show. We're going to do sports, mostly basketball, a little bit of football. A little bit of baseball, too, mostly all old school. We can cover new school topics as well, but on my show, I'm looking to promote guys that doesn't get the recognition that they deserve in the past, you know, old school players. And, you know, we'll just discuss today's topics as well, and how we like the league compared to the old school. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people who, you know, have things to say on that nature. Also going to cover the mental aspect, metaphysical, some self-help things, keep life in proper perspective to make things easier for us, because a lot of us, you know, we take things too much to heart, or we make life harder than it is. So, you know, to shed light on it, some consciousness. I figure if you make them laugh with the comedy and then give them a little consciousness, then people be more receptive to it, not necessarily in a preaching type of way. So just looking to be creative and all of the things that I've shown talent in, which is the comedy, the sports, the music. Everybody likes relationships, so I'm sure we'll get on that topic as well. Get a little, you know, like some of these other guys that have been making their niche on that. I don't necessarily want to just focus on that, but, you know, we'll let the people decide sometimes too what we want to talk about to them, or what kind of platform they would like to have. Just offering a different perspective on life. That's all. Refreshing, something new, something refreshing. That's me, Straw, the Strategy Awareness. I can't hear you. What happened to the volume?
All right.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Yeah,
I was
on mute. Didn't want to disturb what you were saying. So I'm going to start off by asking, what platforms will you have your show on?
What do you mean?
The different platforms, like YouTube. Are you going to have it on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be on YouTube. Then I'll
Spotify.
Put excerpts. Yeah, all we're looking at right now is YouTube. Yeah. I mean, we'll take excerpts of it and put it on different ones, and we'll do some more research. And if we find out, you know, there's other platforms that we can put it on, shouldn't I? Maybe you could help me with that. See, you got your show going, so I need to get some tips from you. See,
all you gotta do all you gotta do is talk to me. You know that.
Yes, sir.
I get you hip to what I'm doing, at least.
Yeah, I love what you're doing too.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You know, I just came from Las Vegas doing some announcing some games, high school basketball games on Baller TV, and doing Get My Chick Hearn on. You know, now Magic has the ball. Magic's yo-yoing up and down on the end of his string, going left or right across your dial on his 47x94 on Hunker Wood. Now he terminated the dribble. He gave it over to Worthy. Warriors guarded by Scottie Pippen. Face of Worthy given. Reagan was a prince, but the brother for Charlie Chisholm. Oh, what a beautiful 360 somersault. The green slam dunk on the Laker Basketball Network. Ladies and gentlemen, this basketball game is in the living room. The brew is in the fridge. The joints are getting rolled and the cocaine is on the table. Don't give up too much, chick. But nah. While I was up there, you know, I visited, my mom lives there, and my sister came with my niece's kids. So, you know, they were visiting my mom, which is my which is their great grandmother. So we sat in there and we watched The Golden Child. They never saw it, and it just brought me back to the times that I watched The Golden Child. There's a ground, Monty. There's a ground. I want the knife. I want the knife, please. There's no ground here. It still was just as good as it was, you know, 30 years ago. So when you do great stuff, it's timeless. And, you know, that was a timeless movie for Eddie Murphy. You know, I ended up memorizing 48 Hours, Roski. I ended up memorizing the movie 48 Hours. I didn't even try to. I just liked different scenes, and I would recite different scenes from the movie. And then I just pieced it together and ended up memorizing the whole movie. Anybody ask me any scene from 48 Hours, I do.
48 Hours. Man.
Nick Nolte, Eddie Murphy, he went to go bail him out of jail. I'm here to see Reggie happy. Cell 18. You don't have to say it, Bobby, till the night. Roxanne, you don't have to put on the red light. Hock the streets for money. You don't even care if it's wrong or if it's... Roxy, put on the red light. Roxy, put on the red Hammond. Got a name, cop? Let's try it, kids. Come here, I want to talk to you in private. Look, Hammond, I know all about you. Seeing them got no fixed address, no relative. 6 months to go in a 3-year sentence. Is that right? So what, man? You go write my life story? Not likely, Reggie. Maybe I just need a little help, huh? Showed him a picture of a man with a bullet in his head. Hey, man, that's Henry Wong, an old friend of mine. He's looked better. That's right. Well, look, man, I've been in this got shell for 2.5 years. I'm getting out in 6 months. I ain't going to do nothing to F myself up. You came here to find out something for me to come to the wrong person, because I don't F my own friends over, man. Well, that's too bad, Reggie. Thought maybe you were a smart boy. But if you were smart, you wouldn't be a cop. Now, I guess the second ring of life, you won't be no help with a hard case like Gans.
Gans?
Yeah.
And man, Gans and Jell's going to be there 2 years after I get out.
Didn't work out that way, Reggie. Big Indian busted him out. He capped 2 guards in the road gang. See you later.
Hey, your case?
Yeah.
I can help you get Gans, but you got to get me out of here first.
You're crazy.
I'm serious, man. I can help you. Yeah, I just got to be on the street.
What's the big deal of being on the street?
Hey, listen, see, I got a lot of protector, right? I want Gans as bad as you do. Nigga, what if he's got that much time?
Bullshit.
Well, that's serious. You want Gans, get me out of here.
Think about it, Rich.
Cates, you got to get me out of here, man. You got to get me out of here. Cates. You.
You know, on TV, instead of saying that F you, he just put the shades on.
I'm like, oh, man, that didn't happen in the real movie. Look, they showing bootleg versions on regular TV.
But yeah, you know, I'm crazy like that, you know. Hey, I'm a TV addict sometimes, you know. Forgive me, you know. But if it makes y'all laugh, then it's all good, you know. As long as I can separate reality from fantasy, you see.
Some people get in their role so much, they end up becoming the role. Like they say, Tupac, he acted like Bishop so much, he became Bishop for real.
Ooh.
From Juice, from the movie Juice.
Oh, I didn't even watch Juice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they probably have, I don't know. But let me go to Professor Rob. Professor Rob, you got any questions about his upcoming show?
Cause Rob, how are you? And Rob, how are you?
I'm not high.
No, I said Rob, how are you?
Oh. How are you? I thought you said
how are you? From Rakim, on one of Rakim's songs, it said, now, Ra, how are you?
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, man, I want to say you're very funny.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm looking forward to seeing your show. I don't give a damn where it's at.
All right. All right. No, but, appreciate that.
But you may can put it on Facebook Live, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, we could go Facebook Live. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope you get a million shares. But second, you know, do you have any presentations about Will Smith slapping the hell out of Chris Rock?
Actually, what I did last week, I just did an impression of Chris Rock and what he would say if he would break his silence. So I have to send that to you. I put it on Facebook, put it on Instagram, put it on TikTok, but I have it in my gallery. I have to shoot it to Rigo, and then I have him shoot it to you.
Yeah, because
you don't want to do any of it here?
Well, I don't want to spoil it, but I was more like, say a few things like, you know, now what if I just hit it back? What did it look like if two Negroes was up there acting a fool? That really would have made us look bad.
Yeah.
So I played it cool.
A lot of people's gonna deal with that. The other thing is, one of the premier comedian, family comedians at one time was Bill Cosby. Do you do Bill?
Yes, because you see, there's a lot of different impressions that y'all are putting, you see. So you could do Bill and Cosby, and you know, when I do Richard, I see Richard ain't too much from Bill, and I found out that he studied Bill. That's why he kind of sounds like the same, right? Because my brother, my son Russell's name was David, and my other son's name was Jesus Christ. It kind of sound the same. So, yeah, I do a little Bill in my act. Love Bill. And Bill was in Mother Jugs and Speed, man. And Mother Jugs and Speed, he was doing some stuff in there that he got accused of, and I could have posted it, but I didn't want to bust him out like that, so I'll just leave it at that. But,
what are some of the challenges that Black comedians go through as far as, you know, I mean, have you been to the Comedy Store? Have you been to Long Beach Comedy Show? I mean, is it difficult for comedians, African-American, and you know, what they did to Monique as far as after she, her and Rope, Oprah fell out,
yeah,
and a few other people. So, but yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, in Hollywood, sometimes you're going to be asked to compromise, you know, you're going to be asked to do certain things, and it just depends on what you're willing to do. You know, if you're not willing to, I guess, to quote, sell out, then it's going to be, you know, the role's going to be a little different. If you have patience, you just stay true to yourself, you'll get the opportunities without doing that. But what happens is a lot of people get impatient and, you know, they sell their souls, you know, and end up doing that. And they get promised things, and then when the promises aren't kept, now they want to act a certain way. Like, why don't you trust them in the first place? You just stay true to yourself. So, you know, hey, you got to appreciate their work, but it's hard to feel sorry for certain people because of the decisions they made, you know. You got to stay true.
You know, I used to go to the Total Experience. I used to hang out with the dramatics and stuff. They used to have a comedian come on before they show. And they had the Total Experience. I forget the brother's name. He's real light. And he was a comedian. He's well known in Los Angeles area and up north. But he was very funny at the time. He used to warm up the crowd before the singing groups come on at the Total Experience.
I wonder if that's Finest Henderson.
No.
Because he became an R&B artist. I think he might have been a comedian. He made a song back in the 80s called Skip to My Loo, My Darling, I'm Coming for You.
I'm going to be your
night. Okay.
No, he was a straight comedian. He's a straight comedian. I'll get his name later. But the other thing is, you know, like we used to have the Red Fox Club used to be on La Brea years ago. Yeah.
Yes, I remember it. Remember those clubs back in the day?
Oh, Pop, you didn't used to go up there. You wasn't no comic.
Shut up, dummy. Go ahead, finish talking, fella. Tell him about it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, I Richard and Willie and Sloppy Daniels and Skillet on at the Western Club. I used to go see comedians all the time. Even Robin Harris. He played basketball with us. Him.
You test too, baby.
And Don Ray. What is Ray Rinaldo? Rinaldo.
And the woman took possession of my mind. Yeah, love Red. Remember Rodney Winfield used to be with him? Chop, chop, yeah. Chop.
Rodney Winfield.
Yeah, he went on Def Jam back in the day, light skinned cat, talking about Shaft and snorting cocaine and stuff.
Yeah, Rodney Winfield. Yeah, that may have been the guy that opened up the
show. He was in the movie Talking Dirty After Dark. He had the raspy boys, light skinned, but I hate to do a room in front of a bunch of ugly mothers.
Yeah, I think that was the guy that used to open up the show.
Okay. Oh, it could might have been Rodney Winfield. That was my boy.
Yeah.
Those guys are legends, man. Oh,
man. Now, Straw, he said, what places have you performed at? I know you was on BET, BET for the, what's that? The
Comic View?
Yeah, I know you was on Comic View, but what other spots you
I was on Comic View when DL hosted. I was on it when Cedric hosted too. The Mooney Twins, met them when I graduated college, and they started putting me on a little conscious comedy tour. And when he brought up the Red Fox venue, it reminded me of one of our conscious comedy shows was at the Richard Pryor Theater. I think it had another name too, but it was called the Richard Pryor Theater up there. God, what street that was on? But we had the conscious comedy show there with Paul Mooney. Been to Guam, did a one-man show. One time, Guy Tory called me, hey, Straw, you want to make $500? You want to go to Guam? I said, yeah, I'll go. How much? Oh, it's only paying $500. All right, I'll do it. And man, I took that flight to Guam. It took about 22 hours, 5 hours to Hawaii, then an hour and a half layover, and then another 12 hours. Didn't see nothing but water. Man, and they show you a little map. Letting you know when you're getting close. I thought that little icon wasn't going to make it down there to them little islands, man. And I did a nice little hour, one-man show. And then right after I left, there was a big old hurricane. And it wiped out half of the island. So I'm glad I got out of there. But that was a fun experience doing the Guam show. Used to do colleges and things. Would like to do some more of those colleges. So just things like that.
What you did the Comedy Store, any of those?
Yeah, I did the Comedy Store, the Belly Room. I haven't done the Main Room, anything, though. Stevie Mack used to have his show in Leimert Park. In fact, the Stevie Mack show is returning August 24th on a Sunday at 4 o'clock.
Is that the regional west? The regional
it's,
west?
It's right around the corner from there. Right around the corner. It used to be right next to Marla Gibbs joint. You know how they do the Marketplace? They do the Leimert thing every... He used to have it every end of the month. Right along with the African Marketplace thing. So he's doing it this Sunday, the 24th. So
yeah, we lost Paul Mooney.
Oh yes. Yes, only in physical form. I'm still here in spiritual essence, my brother.
Yeah. And I met the Mooney twins. Matter of fact, we had them at one of our conferences. At Cal State Long Beach, and then we had them at Compton College. And then they did a show in Inglewood at this brother Abdul Rahman's art show and a conscious comedy.
Abdul Rahman, who Walt has it?
No, this is a different one.
Oh, okay.
Abdul Rahman, he passed with COVID.
Bless his soul.
Is that the one that used to be with Shahid all the time?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he hung. No, that's Abdullah.
Abdullah.
Matter of fact, we just lost a brother named Rashad. But getting back to you and your comedy, you know, the most important thing is that, you know, they're improvising and getting this, a good manager, and some of these venues and things, and how difficult it is to break in to do warm up shows for big events, you know.
It's all about contacts, you know. Like you were talking about the guy opening for those music acts, you know. With all of my music background, you know, I love to break through.
and be able to open for those venues. So just getting out there, getting myself known. So with this show here, I can refer people. People can refer people to what I'm doing, and then they can see that, yeah, you can get this guy to open for those acts because, hey, I'm gonna bring you back.
How long have you started into the business?
Comedy, I started in 1990 at the Townhouse. Jamie Foxx, it just came out here under the alias of Jamie Foxx. Of course, he had a different name, and we were all performing together at the Townhouse. Hope Flood was running it, Juan Dexter and US. So, you know, then I went off to college, came back, and did the show. I was okay before I left, but then when I came back, you know, I did real well. And used to hit the Maverick Flat. And then I ended up getting picked up for Comedy View. And my date was right before I had to go back to college for my senior year. So I had to postpone for about a week to stay and do Comedy View. So, you know, that was fun. That was a big deal to do that and then go back to school. Everybody be like, yeah, man, I heard you was on HBO. Yeah, that was cool. I used to like even corrected them. I'd be like, yeah, that's right. But yeah, to break in, it's not as hard as it used to be because we can do our own thing now. We ain't got to wait on nobody to give you no deal. That's what we're doing here with the Straw Show. Be creative. You know, you got to wait on nobody else. Have them come to you. You ain't got to be begging for them. That way you can keep your soul, you know, work on your terms and not be as desperate. Hey, I'll stay right here and make myself a star. See what I'm saying? Inspired by the brother Roski, what he doing over here. If you can do it, I can do it. And then when you brought up Abdullah a minute ago, see, that's how my mind worked. Made me start thinking of a movie. Give me the gun, Abdullah. Man, the man is coming down. Give me the gun, Abdullah. What movie is that?
Car Wash.
Ah, you got it. I knew you was going to get it before Rego. Come on, Roski. Get up on your movie.
Man, I'm an observer. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Brother Machinda. Brother Machinda.
Yes, sir.
You have any questions about his show, his new show coming out?
No, I know it's going to be good. You know, he's pretty funny.
Wow, look at Brother Machinda right there. Look at the icon. He looked just like that image that be in the crosswalks. Ain't that something?
A lot of us out there like that.
You're pseudonymous, your alias. I got you.
Hey, Brother Strong.
Yes, sir.
So you're a sports, you're Jeopardy, a sports Jeopardy specialist, huh?
Yeah, ask me any of the players back in the day. I'll tell you their jersey number, height, weight, college year they came out.
Any sport or anything?
Well, I was mostly the basketball, football, a little bit of baseball, you know, I can name, you know.
I was going. I had an Olympic question for you.
You hit me with hit me with it. As long as it ain't no rugby or nothing, I might can do it.
Okay, who won the in 1936 Olympics? Who won the 200 meters in the gold?
Jesse Owens.
Right. You're absolutely right. Now here's the other one. Who took second place?
I knew you was gonna make it hard. Baron Van Stuck. No, I don't know. I don't know who.
No, it was Matthew McKenzie Mack Robinson.
Yeah, I wouldn't Mack have got Robinson. That. Okay.
You know Mack Robinson?
No, sir.
That was Jackie Owens' older brother. Jackie Robinson's older brother. He broke the record in the 200 meters in the 36 Olympics, and he took second place.
All right.
So Jesse broke the record too. You know, he was faster, but I'm saying both of them broke the
both
record.
Of them broke it. He just broke it a little bit more than him. Wow.
What was that name, Machinda?
Mack Robinson. Walt, his name is Matthew Robinson. Mack Robinson. McKenzie. Matthew McKenzie Robinson.
Jesse Owens' older brother?
No.
I mean, Jackie Robinson's older brother.
Jackie Robinson's older brother.
You got me making the same mistake you made.
he had a few brothers, I believe, but that was one of that brother was older than him.
Oh, okay. A great bit of trivia there. I'm going to have to add that to my sports archives.
That's all I wanted to contribute.
All right. Appreciate it, brother.
Stay funny and stay conscious.
Oh, of course, definitely appreciate that. I sure will.
Yeah. All right,
Going back to the sports thing as well. It's easy to associate the seasons with school years because, you know, it's 2 years, 76, 77, 87, 88, 98, 99. So that makes it easy. Rigo, Roski. And I didn't realize that what I had was a gift. I thought everybody would memorize stuff or would have things in their head. But when I started asking,
I don't remember that.
Well, I mean, I guess it's what you're interested in, and
what's important to you. Yeah.
Yeah. I have certain memories, but then to remember all the things you be talking about is, man, that's something. Let me see. Who won the NBA championship in 1976?
In 1976, that was the year before the ABA-NBA merger, and it was a six-game series. Yeah, it was a six-game series, and that's the one where Gar Hurd hit that shot to send it to overtime. That triple overtime was game five, Boston and Philly. I believe that was game five. And it was the Suns, and it was Boston. Boston ended up winning, and JoJo White was the MVP.
Oh, my God. I just came off top of my head with the year, and you came with specifics. All right.
When Eddie Murphy them did Coming to America in the barbershop, they was arguing about Cassius Clay and Sugar Ray. Do you do that?
Nah, I didn't get that scene. I had another guy, AJ Jonas, and he did impressions with me, and that was his killer scene. So I just let him have that.
That
is Clay. Mama called him Clay. I'ma call him Clay.
That was a funny scene because he did both all the parts.
With all the makeup.
Eddie Murphy did all the parts of him.
He got that idea from Richard Pryor, Which Way Is Up, when he was the old man. He was the preacher, and then he was himself. The parishioners gave me this healing glove that I may do the work of the Lord as I put on my platinum healing glove. As you know, last year, a man came in with one leg shorter than the other, and I healed him. Who will be first amongst you? I will. You will, brother. And what is your name, and what is your problem?
Harold Washington, my feet.
Harold Washington, your feet. What can we do for you and your feet, Harold?
Make me whole again. Make me walk and run and grace. And hold on. Take it easy. You want an awful lot for $2. Here's your $2 back. Come back Christmas Eve. That's when we're here.
Rich is the fool. Remember that.
What about Coming to America Chocolate? What is that?
Sexy Chocolate. Yeah. Sexy Chocolate. See, I didn't really get into that scene or that movie like that and get those scenes. I'm more like 48 Hours, Trading Places, Beverly Hills Cop.
You know, 48 Hours was pretty funny itself. He's pretty funny in that. Yeah, in the club.
In the club. You talking about him when he went to the hillbilly bar?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, they pulled up. All right, what's the deal? This is a long shot, but Billy used to work at this club as a bartender. I heard him talk about it before.
And a situation like this, they'll make me out for a cop any second. Oh, you just back me up, pretend like you got a piece. What the fuck I want to do that for? Hey, they may beat the shit out of me, but I guarantee they cut your black right up.
Oh, so you a badass? It's amazing how far a gun and badge to get some guys.
Bullshit attitude and experience would get you through. Come on.
I'm telling you, man, I've been in a place like this before. Where white cops came and F with me and my friends. Oh, they stopped from kicking. They had guns and badges.
Takes years of experience handling a joint like this. You want to bet? I got two problems. Number one, I ain't playing effing games. Number two, you ain't got nothing to bet with.
Look, man, if we go in here and get Gans or dead or anything, turn your back for a half hour. So then they go into the club. It's like, not a very popular place with the brothers.
Yeah, it's my kind of place. Always like country boys. And they sure as don't like you.
Howdy.
How do?
Yeah. I like something to drink. Probably some vodka.
You best have a Black Russian.
Black Russian, that's a funny joke. I get it. I'm black. Yeah, that's funny. Now I just rather have plain old vodka. Listen, since we're sitting here talking friendly.
He showed the badge and covered up the face with his thumb so he couldn't see it was Nick Nolte's.
I'm looking for a gentleman by the name of Billy Bear. I swear you can help me find him.
Yeah, Mr. Never heard of him.
Never heard of him before. Never heard of Billy Bear, huh?
Looky here.
You freaking heard of him now, man?
I don't know what you're talking about.
And maybe you don't mind if I look around for a little while, huh?
I don't give a shit what you do.
Good.
Never seen so many backwards countries in my life. All right, you're going to cuss too much on that, but you get the idea. You get the idea, man. Yeah, that was a classic scene.
What about next Friday in the record shop? What's the brother?
Oh, you talking about Pinky?
Yeah, I love Pinky, man.
Clifton Powell?
Yeah.
Who sent you? Day Day. Don't you say another motherfucking word, no. What you doing, man? Get your guts.
Yeah. That was some funny stuff, bro. That brother laughed.
It was funny about Clifton Powell is that his son played high school basketball a few years ago. And, you know, I'm doing a lot of reffing and announcing. We've been on the basketball circuit. So he would show up at the games. And I know you guys know P.O.D. P.O.D., Chris Francis. He was coaching.
Chris Francis.
He was coaching. You know how Chris
could get. I thought Chris Francis.
How Chris could get. So him and Clifton Powell was going at it. I think he was coaching against his son, and they had an exchange. It was very entertaining, but he had to be there. And then afterwards, you know, they was hugged up, cool, took pictures and whatnot. But yeah, it was a trip to see Pinky over there at the basketball games.
Yeah, and he played, and then Friday after next, when he came into the party.
Yeah.
Right, with that went with his women, with prostitutes.
and speaking of what you're talking about with the Jerry Curl, that brings me back, to Hollywood Shuffle. Now, I know that's another movie that I know real well, Hollywood Shuffle. Yo. Welcome to Sneaking in the Movies, Robert Towns, Keenan Ivory
Wayne. Yeah, man. I met him before.
I'm Speed. This is my homie Tyrone, and we are like movie critics and shit. You know, we sneak in the movie, we watch him, then we come back and tell y'all should go watch him and shit. You know, this first movie we will be reviewing is called Amadeus Me Celebrities. Yo, man, how you gonna take your woman to a movie you can't even pronounce? I'm gonna take you to Amadeus. Nah, man, that's bullshit. Yo, man, I believe this movie, homeboy, him jumping off mountains with his mother, man, that's bull. No, man, he could do that because he understood the relativity of gravity and polarity. Yo, man, bullshit. Hey, man, you don't know about science because you dropped out of high school. Yo, man, why you got to bring that up? Because it's the truth. Hey, man, I know that's the truth, man. Hey, man, F you. What you going to do about it? I'm going to bust your after the clip. Yeah, all right. Yeah, Tommy, you killed it, my brother. Rocket, don't stop. Rocket Jerry Curl, twist and turn, do the Jerry Curl, Jerry Curl, Jerry Curl. You ready for another swooping man, Eddie Munn? Get this punk out of here, man. Yo, man, that's my activator. Back up, you man, back up, man. Where was you tonight? Cookiehead Jenkins. Wasn't that your name back? Wasn't that your nickname back in the day, Rosty? Cookiehead Jenkins.
Nah.
No, you know a Cookie Head Jenkins from the hood. Everybody know a Cookie Head.
I know Cookie Man.
You see?
Hey, Cookie Man.
Hey, in my regular act, I talk about nicknames. We sit around with the homie one time. We just thought about nicknames that will work. You can shout the same nicknames in every hood in America, and somebody gonna be named Rat Dog, or it might be both of them. Y'all know Rat Dog. You know, Mookie, Bookie, Pookie, named after colors, blue, black, red, dirty red, chili red, doo-doo brown. Everybody know a June bug. So certain nicknames is just all over the country, man.
Rod used to use nicknames in his teaching. We used to have fun. I was a big comedian in the classroom.
That's what it's about, man.
Hey, I remember one time he was talking about, we were talking about Mike Tyson in the class.
Oh, yeah? And, he was talking about me, huh?
Yeah.
You better not let me find out what you were saying. Go ahead.
A student asked a question, and Ry, you know, he's talking about the rape, you know, the rape case he caught with that young girl.
Desiree Washington.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah. Rod just said, somebody asked the question, and Rod said, was it dinner or something? It was, I mean, he had the whole class, I'm talking about a big old lecture room, It was something. Matter of fact, I had it on cassette tape. And I mean, we was in stitches for about at least, so you know, to be laughing, we was laughing for at least a minute. I mean, it was, and that's long. You know, we were, I mean, he had all the students up in an uproar. So yeah, comedy is real good in education too, because Rod used to have us rolling.
Yeah, I mean, but look at, we learn to teach left brain. And laughter opens up the right side. Creativity is the right side of the brain. We can retain better if we do right brain teaching. That's where the melody comes in. That's where the laughter comes in. And then we can feed in the left brain stuff. So, you know, it's still traditional teaching and not doing it like that. But and anytime somebody does, and all of a sudden it's a novelty. But that's how we should be teaching, man. You know, KRS-One said, if I was teaching school, I would get rid of all the books and we would learn about ourselves. That way we would want to come to school. What am I going to learn about myself today? Because when you're there in class learning his story, learn a little of your story, the real story.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Well, they said, you know, when you're teaching, you know, they said, make it relate to real life. So, you know. It's all good. Brother Mashinda.
Yes, sir.
Throw some trivia at him. Some more up to date.
Up to date, huh?
Yeah, come to the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
That's where he thrives in that.
Right. Okay. So what's the young lady's name that's over there in jail in Russia?
You talking about Brittany Griner.
Right. What college did she go to?
The Baylor Bears.
Yeah. Did she play all 4 years?
Did she play all 4 years? I'm going to say she might have left after her junior year.
I'm tripping. I don't know.
Okay. When that.
But I don't have much to say. I'm just listening, man. You have a special talent.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you. You know, a lot of times I'm sitting at home and I'm watching TV. And, you know, people are getting paid to deliver sports and they're delivering the wrong stuff. One time, Tony Smith from Marquette was drafted by the Lakers in 1990. And, Pat Riley had just got released. Well, he resigned as Lakers coach after eight seasons. And, you know, the players got tired of listening to him. He was a workaholic. He drove him into the ground. I remember in 89 when Byron Scott got hurt and Magic got hurt, they say because when they had all that time off, Pat Riley worked him too much. So that was the excuse. So after he left, they hired Mike Dunleavy, who had just with Milwaukee. So he was scouting up in that area. And so he drafted Tony Smith out of Marquette. So he stayed on the Lakers about 4 years and they waived him. So then he got picked up by Miami Heat. By this time, Pat Riley is with the Heat as a coach. And they said he's reunited with his former L.A. coach, Pat Riley. Say he never played for him. And every channel I turned to, they all passed the wrong information. I'm sitting at home without the job with the right information. They getting paid thousands of dollars and they got the wrong information. Say he never played for him. Nobody can do the research. So You know, things like that happen all the time. So, yeah, we're going to set the record straight. My show, we will set the record straight on that stuff. Did you guys know this plan is going on right now, the NBA plan? Did you know that the stats aren't categorized as regular season or playoff? They're going to be in their own category right now. Does that make sense to you?
Explain it.
The stats from the game, these games are not playoffs or regular season. It's just playing. So if you look up somebody's individual numbers, it's not going to be under their regular season category, and it's not under the playoff category. It's just playing stats. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like in baseball, if you finish in a tie and after 162 games, you have to have a play-in game, and they count it as your 163rd game. Now, I ain't saying basketball should copy them, but make your mind up. It's either playoffs or regular season. But nope, right now it's just playing. I don't get that.
Yeah, well, all they want is the attendance. They're just making up a game to play. That's about money there. All these tournaments to get to the championship. Even when we was in college, we you know, you win the conference, you went to the NC2A if you were D1.
Right.
And you was a high ranking. But now you got to go to the tournament, and the team that came in last can win the tournament, and they go to the NC2A. And
hey, that's so, the end. That's like the Villanovas and stuff.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's wild. I mean, they just wanted to make more money, the NC2A. So they created playoffs.
Let me tell you, I've had my battles with the NCAA over the years. This is Dick Vitale. I knew a lot of people miss my voice because I'm battling cancer. Some people think I'm on my last legs. If you heard me in the early UCLA Villanova game, my voice was kind of like wasn't there, but I'll be back. If I'm not back, I'll still be with you guys in college basketball heaven in the spiritual essence of the NCAA. Dipsy Doo, Dunkaroo, oh, carry your dome, rock and roll.
Yeah.
Dick Vitale. Yeah. I didn't even realize that he was out.
You see?
Yeah.
Because nobody watches college basketball like they used to. All the Big East. When you see matchups like Louisville versus DePaul back in the day, you'd be like, oh, man, I got to watch that game. Now you're like, who played for them? You know, Syracuse, Georgetown. Ooh, the Big East battles, man. Come on, man. UNLV versus UCLA. They didn't play UCLA that many times. UNLV and USF. I got a UNLV-USF game that got six pros in it. Like three or four of them from USF. Maybe you got seven pros. You had Marlon Redmond, Winfred Boings, Bill Cartwright, and James Hardy. Four cats from USF that made the league. And then on UNLV, it was Reggie Theus. It was, I think, Robert Smith and Crenshaw, Marcus Johnson's homeboy. Larry Moffitt, Jackie Robinson. So about eight pros was in that game. Maybe even a couple of more. So, yeah, man, I love watching them old games. Them cats, they be going at it. These guys today, they got talent, but they don't have the same heart to me. And I want them to be better. I ain't trying to hold on and say our era was better. But, you know, who wants to watch 53-point shots being put up? And no, your big man is 6'10", 6'11", 7 feet shooting threes. No low post game, no more.
Did you watch the NCAA game, right?
Yeah.
Man, them big boys was going at it. They had man.
I only watched some of it. I didn't feel good about North Carolina because Hubert Davis, when he got the job last year, what he said? Remember what he said?
You told me.
Yeah, and he hasn't had to account for that, Amon-Ra. He hasn't had to account for that. He said, I'm proud to be the first African American coach of any sport in North Carolina, and I'm proud that my wife is white. And everybody was like, where'd that come from? Nobody asked him that. And every time go ahead.
He just wanted to put it out there, because he was being criticized for it behind closed doors. You know, people found out that he was married to a white girl, so I guess he wanted to defend it, you know.
Well, then say that to those critics, you know, but you just say it like he said it. It just seemed like it came from nowhere. Even ESPN, everybody was like, where'd it come from? So that's what made it even worse. I'm like, well, maybe they'll tell us where it came from. But it never, and nobody even questioned it this year. So I'm like, you know what? I can't support him. And I didn't watch North Carolina this year because of that. Maybe I overreacted, but every time I ask the question, I get called a racist. He can date who he wants. That's not the point. That's not my point. Why did he say?
Yeah, man. You got
a diss to the sisters.
You got a vice president married to a white man. You got a
one of my favorite players,
a Negro brother married to a white woman.
One of my favorite players of all time, Charles Barkley. You know, I'm married to a white woman. Remember that time when I was playing in the league and I said, you see, that's why I hate white people. I got away with it because I was married to a white woman.
Yeah, man. Y'all know. Even Clyde Frazier.
Who? Did he? I never seen his wife. You know, there was rumblings about Clyde.
Spencer Hayward was on the team, and he said, you know, this woman was a groupie. She hung out with all the players. And then she hooked up with Clyde Frazier, and he married.
You know, that happens. I heard that similar story happen with some other players. I don't care to go down that adventure, but now that you bring up Spencer, hey, well, are you watching Winning Time, the HBO series on the Showtime Lakers? Are you aware that that's taking place?
Yeah, I see it on HBO. I haven't watched it.
Now, it's based on a book, Showtime, written by a guy who didn't interview any of the guys. So it was based on a bunch of rumors and innuendos. You know, my favorite player was Norm Nixon. So I already knew they were going to paint him as a bad guy because, you know, and create the feud with him and Magic being the good guy, they got to make Norm look bad. So I knew if it's based on that, they're going to have him acting a certain way. And I still like it. I know it ain't 100% true, but I love it. And his son is playing Norm. Norm's son is playing him. And, you know, he's doing an excellent job. Jerry West, they got him acting a fool. A lot of people say it's over the top. But, you know, you can separate the entertainment from what really happened. I kind of remember a lot of that stuff. So I find it to be entertaining myself. Mm-hmm. And they just introduced Spencer Haywood a couple of episodes ago. Wood Harris as Spencer Haywood. Oh. And they talked about how he made it to where the guys can turn hardships. I'm responsible for Kobe, LeBron, and all those guys being able to turn pro because he fought for the right to turn pro after one college season.
He said, I pay. He after college season. Hardship
case, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then he said, I paid the price because they started showing all the different teams that he was traded to. You know, they kind of like messed him up or blacklisted him. We let you play in the league, but you ain't going to get all the love. People don't think it's politics in the league, man. I knew it when I was little, but I see it more as I've grown up. I can still, what you watch it for? Because I still enjoy, you know, certain aspects of it without getting caught up in the wins and losses, just like wrestling. You know, we know wrestling ain't real, but it still was entertaining to watch. They still got to execute the plays and stuff. So it takes a certain amount of athletic ability. You know?
Well, all sports are entertainment.
Yeah, if you could bet on it, it's fixed.
That's why you call it sports entertainment.
If you could bet on it, it's fixed. How's a half a point in the equation for the spread and you can't score half a point in the game? Another way for the house to make the monies. Mm-hmm.
That's true. You know, like a team don't beat the spread, the gamblers win.
Exactly. And the players, I promote players, you know, it's just like, to me, I compare it to music. Certain songs get released off albums and certain songs don't get released. And that doesn't mean that's the best song, but there are political reasons why that song is promoted. Maybe the producers are in bed with the company, so that song's going to be released. Now, this song, number three, is produced by this guy. We ain't releasing that.
Hey, you know, that's just... I got a story about what you're talking about. Brother Machinda, we grew up together. He got me by 4 years, right? And remember Heat Wave when they came out with
Ain't
that album?
No half stepping.
Yeah, so they had a few cuts. Yeah, they had a few cuts released, but my older brothers and sisters had the album. And when I heard Always and Forever, I told Brother Machinda back when I was a little kid, I said, this is going to be a hit. And it's the best song off that album.
Hey, that's how I do too. My brother would get albums and, you know, we would listen to other songs and be like one more time, you know, my brother DJ. So my college buddy, we met in Gary. And I made him a tape of all the latest hip hop. And the next month, he was like, man, what? I said, man, that tape you made, what about it? All them songs you put on that tape had music videos a month later. Now, how did I forecast that they was going to release them? I ain't know. It was just the ones that I liked, you know?
I had the ear. Yep. I don't know if Brother Machinda remember that, but I told him, I said, man, listen to this song. I said, it's going to be a hit.
Mm-hmm. Man, now you know
it's an all-time great, Always and Forever.
Did you know Confunction's Love's Train never got released as a single?
What's that?
You remember on a all night day bring?
Okay,
no
yeah.
One I really wanna see you too. And if by chance, now that song, Love's Train, it never got released as a single, but it was the best song on the album. You know that's politics. It's the best player don't always start. A song that's released is the starters. The song that don't get released is the bench player. Sometimes the best players ain't the ones that start. And ain't the ones they promote, see?
Yeah, well, I guess you could say that in some instances. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, LA rap, you know, East Coast and West Coast rap. You know, West Coast rap is more about a party. You know, my older brother and them and cousins them used to go to Uncle Jam's Army and bring those songs home and I'd play them. Meow, 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 Egypt. Egypt, meow, 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 Egyptian lover, baby, Egyptian lover. And they had another song called Girls, 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 all those sexy little, like, hey, keep him away from the middle schools. R. Kelly, R. Kelly didn't have nothing on this cat. Who was that? Sexual harassment was the name of the group. I need a freak, brown, 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 meow, 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 meow. You probably was pop-locking all these songs back in the day, wasn't you, Roski?
Of course. I still pop-lock. I was pop-locking yesterday.
Wow. My brothers used to enter contests pop-locking. No, they were locking. Before pop-locking, they were just rerunning. Locking.
Oh, rerun, okay.
Yeah, getting in gong shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Man.
So, Rob, any more questions for him?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So, Brother Mascenda said he was done. So, anything else you want to tell us about the show?
Well, this isn't about the show, but I would share stories like this. Ra, remember Dr. Green taught philosophy?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Brother Mascenda's favorite teacher.
Yeah, let me tell you something. You see, let me tell you something. Now, after I graduated from junior college, I accumulated credits from three different junior colleges and went to Stillman College right here, HBCU in Tuscaloosa. I had 2 years left. So during my last semester, they called me in and they said, you're not about to graduate in the spring. I'm like, why? Because, you know, you have to take a certain amount of religions courses. If you come as a freshman, you got 12. If you come as a sophomore, you got 9. If you come as a junior, you got 6. So I came as a junior and I did my 6, 3 and 3. And they said, nah, you got 3 more to do. 1 more class with 3 units. Huh? No, you were an advanced sophomore. I said, how's that? That F you got in philosophy here on your transcripts at Compton College. I said, I didn't get F. Let me see what. You know, I called Compton College from Tuscaloosa. Let me talk to Dr. Green. I said, Dr. Green, man. I'm down here in Alabama. I'm in school. You know, I'm to graduate. And they say, I got to do this because I got an evidence. I took the final. I passed. I came to, you come to all the classes? Yeah. You're yeah. Okay. I'll fix it. So, shoot, I look up and that fool sent me a B. I'm like, yeah. And then I end up helping me graduate. See, you can't just stand for what they told. Okay, I'll take another semester. Nah. So big ups to the brother. He looked out. I had to get up out of there, so I had to get no more student loans.
Oh man.
Yeah, Dr. Green, Brother Green was a good brother. He helped a lot of students.
What about Widener? Now, Widener, I know some people were like took exception to him because, you know, they say he had a white wife teaching black history. Am I saying this clearly? Am I saying this in a way that's clear? That was his favorite transition where when he was doing his lecture. Yeah. Am I saying this clearly?
Yeah, I remember Widener. Yeah. Yeah, Brother Mascenda. Oh, he must have. There he is. Hey, he just was talking about Professor Green at Compton College.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. You see? I'm going to tell you something.
Oh, Green. Is he still around, Ron? Is he?
No, they got rid of him somewhere around 2000. Right after I left and I was on city council, they got rid of him. Then he was living in Long Beach. And then, go ahead.
Hey, I'm Ron. Do you know my brother, James Montgomery Pratt? He brought Ra'um Nefram in to Compton College in 91. He did some shows at Long Beach, and
what
he has.
What did you say his name was?
James Montgomery Pratt. We called him Monty, but he used to be working with Asa Hilliard and Oshawa Crazy and Quasi, and those guys out of the Long Beach African Study Group and stuff.
Pratt.
Yeah. He brought Shake 'Em or Shake 'Em. Remember when Shake 'Em or Shake 'Em came to Compton College in 91 and spoke back then the Allied Health Group? My brother brought him out here.
Oh,
You ever checked out Raum Nefer Amen? He wrote the Metu Neter.
I'm pretty sure I did, because I was at Compton College in 91. I was director of the Transfer Center.
Mm-hmm. I remember you brought Francis Cress Wilson in 88.
Yeah, we brought Francis at Cal State and Compton College.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Francis. And
That's a beautiful consciousness.
Him and his wife. We had Marcus Garvey's son there.
Oh, wow.
And they tried to build a bus for him. And they tried to get Obama to give him, exonerate him from that case they gave him, false case. Yeah. He wouldn't do it. So there's a movement. We tried to get 100,000 signatures to get the case, get Biden to, do like what Trump do, just get rid of it, But it hadn't worked out. I know I signed the petition. But
right.
Heard how successful it was.
Right.
But, the movement is strong, man. We got a lot to be proud of as far as the efforts of Black people over the years. Million Man March, the George Floyd international movement, the Breonna Taylor's movement, Ferguson. I mean, there's been a lot. People be saying Black people ain't doing nothing, but hey, you wouldn't have the Supreme Court justice. You wouldn't have state senators from Atlanta if Black people didn't get out and vote, So a lot of people like to talk about the negative, but they don't know how to have a victorious attitude.
Every time I'm around you, not to cut you off, every time I see you, remind me of my uncle, because, he's part of the movement, Geronimo, as well. And
Pratt?
Yes, sir. Geronimo.
That's your uncle?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got a picture with him.
Yes, sir.
Me and Jijaga. Yeah. When he first came back, we had him speak in Compton at the Unity Festival.
Yeah.
He was one of the first people that gave him money. And then we had him at Long Beach State.
Now, when my cousin was at Cal Poly Pomona, Karanga came out there and he told him who he was. And Karanga, like, we'll talk, brother. We'll talk. So we went to visit Geronimo and we thought Geronimo would have negative things to say. And he's like, he didn't have nothing negative to say. He said, no, man, I understand that was them pitting us against each other. It's like, okay, all right.
Yeah, that's what Jijaga told me. And man, we had a deep talk, man. And then he went. He got a divorce. Then he moved to Africa, married one of the brother of Panther's daughters or something.
Elgis Cleaver.
Yeah. Then he ended up with a transition. But Jijaga, and you see Johnny Cochran, and all of them. See, we used to work with Johnny back in the day, and it's just so much deep. But was true, but see, that let you know the Panthers really did him wrong when they wouldn't testify where he was, and then when he got back, none of them tried to rebuild the Panthers, because they were fighting. Huey was fighting against Eldridge. Eldridge was fighting against the guy in Philadelphia, and he doing a cookbook now. I forget his name, man.
I saw some groups in L.A. call themselves the Panthers, but I never saw them.
Yeah, but they couldn't get off the ground. No.
Right.
The New Africa, the New Panthers, but Dr. Khalid Muhammad tried to build them up national, and along with his brother in D.C., it couldn't get off the ground.
Right.
But the beautiful thing is their effort. They tried and everything. But Soul on Ice was Elders Cleaver book, but it's dedicated to a white girl.
Yeah, we studied that in Widener's class.
Yeah. I mean, then Huey, he up with Jane Fonda up in the penthouse when he come back from overseas. I mean, Charles Gary, who was a socialist white man, was their attorney. And they were mad at the Black nationalists because we didn't want no white people. but Panthers were getting money from Marlon Brando, the Fonders. So many white were giving them money, man. They were making cash, man. Because that newspaper was the second highest read circulated black newspaper in the country, next to the Nation of Islam paper.
Wow. Look, when you said all black, you reminded me of Tupac. I got this interview that I'm going to unleash. I haven't seen anybody have it. When he hosted Rap City, he said, the thug life is about the brothers doing for themselves and keeping it all black. Mm. All black. Mm. All black. Meaning, no snakes, no fakes, no punks. Well, what none of that? We ain't asking for nothing. We taking ours. And that go for the people that's 19, you know, that's 21. We got white dudes rapping. Got this white dude out here chatting Jamaican. Yo, kill that. Yo, kill that. You ain't taking no pictures with me. We ain't getting up with dirty looks. How a white boy gonna be out there chatting some Jamaican? Kill it. That's what we doing this year. We killing the noise and we living that thug life. He was going on. And I ain't going to make it to 2000 like this. I'm going to tell you right now. See, he prophesized himself even back in 93 with this interview.
Mm. Yeah, so much going on, brother.
Yeah, still going on. The struggle continues. Ah, straight from the temple of everlasting. Now, I wrote a lot of stuff and I wrote this black poem and back in 91, and it was based on the theme of X-Clan. I did it in a melody, a rhyme style like this. It says, at the brink of the turn of the century, are we unveiling the true black history? The history or his story seems to bore thee who's inclined to be reminded of more. See, black folk, what are actions mode? Through cause and effectness, how can we direct this positively to inject the perplex? The wreck is obviously in effect.
Wow.
It's a couple of pages. Maybe I'll do it on one of my shows. But
yeah, man. That reminds me of the last point.
Yeah, we're going to do some spoken word. Do you remember?
Those three eyes are burning like fires among those who sold the gold. And they continue to keep the people asleep and the truth from being told. Racism and greed keep the people in need from getting what's rightfully theirs, buying and stealing their rightfully in the name. Well, I mean,
yeah, you know more than me, but it sounded good, brother. Sounded good.
The name of the master plan. Yeah, man, they were good. I love the last four. Man.
You get into reggae like Roski. You be listening to the reggae stuff too.
Oh yeah, brother. You know, I used to hang out with a brother. They would call McCall, and they were at the Sunsplash Festival in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they Rastafarian, then smoking ginger and all that. Man, they were out of line.
You ever used to go to the ones at the Velodrome, Cal State Dominguez, when they had the reggae?
I never went up there.
How about you, Roski?
Yes, I was there.
Yeah, my cousin used to go. He said one of the band members, like, I'm sorry, but our lead singer could not make it. He did not pass immigration. And then this one brother had me listening to Muta Baruka back in the day. Every time I hear the sound. You used to listen to him, Rigo?
Of course. He got he has a podcast, like a radio show.
Oh yeah, Muta Baruka. Okay.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
And Black Uhuru, I got the stalk of Sensamillion cooling in my backyard.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have I make a new reggae CD every month and share it amongst the Rastas, you know, the Compton Rastas.
Yeah, I know with this, you know, when I was little, I don't even was exposed to the commercial stuff like this generation rules the nation with version. You know what?
That actual album was excellent.
Bum. I said, pass the Dutchy Pony left pun side. I said, Pony left pun side.
Yes, the song is about a Jamaican pot. And I thought he meant a pot you cook with. I didn't know they meant marijuana.
I like the way Cedric in Kings of Comedy, Cedric starts singing reggae.
Yeah.
It was all right. No jam.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
That was good.
So make their music.
So, oh, Brother Roski, I see, when did you get that logo back there? I don't think I was on here the last time I had to we all was on your show.
I've had it since we started, but I'm showing it almost every time I'm on here.
Yeah, that's tight. What's that, a green screen or something you got back there?
It's just a virtual background.
Okay, nice. You know, if that stays like that, then that reminds me like back in the day when we moved down to Louisiana, my cousins was into wrestling. So we'd be turning the channel, looking for whatever's on TV. We turn and we see that wrestling, world championship wrestling logo back there. Oh, he turned back wrestling on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gordon Sully, world championship wrestling. Ernie the Big Cat Lad. Uncle Tom Rocket Johnson. Uncle Tom Candy. So you're going to have a nice logo right there that people going to recognize. Think I got to get me one too. I got the little background with the basketball back there, but I think I had to get something more defined like you got back there. You see?
Oh, yeah. We get you straight. Yeah.
The ice cream truck, man. I miss the ice cream truck, man. When I was little living in Carson, ice cream truck used to come by four or five different ice cream trucks a day. Well, ride on the back of the ice cream truck and everything, man. We buy them chili Fritos, and that's when I was still eating meat, you know. Man, them chili Fritos is good, you know. And one ice cream truck used to come by bumping Parliament while the rest of them was playing ice cream music. The black one, JB, he bumping Parliament. You know? Why is that one the most popular? Found out later he was selling weed, you know. Like, oh, okay. He might have been sprinkling on some of them chili Fritos. That's why we eat some and then try to catch them three streets down and get 75 more cents so we can get a nut. Mm. We can get a nut. Them ice cream trucks was the lick, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, go ahead and close us out, Pratt. What you going to close us out with? Give us a good impression.
Let's see. Who you like?
Oh, you know, I like the Tupac and Biggie. You already know that.
Oh, the Tupac and Biggie?
Yeah, Tupac and Biggie.
Yeah. Hey, when Tupac rhymed, seemed like he only knew one vowel. He ended everything with E. Back in elementary, drive no misery. That weed in the Hennessy, get to me or the penitentiary. Like, fool, go on Wheel of Fortune and get you another vowel. All right, let me get an A for 200. Drive me crazy. Love for my baby, dear mama. But you know, and then you got Biggie Smalls, a Notorious B.I.G. I did a Diet remix to One More Chance. You know, he was going to change the lyrics and make a Diet remix and shed light on it. But, you know, they didn't want that to come out. They didn't want us eating healthy. They didn't money off of unhealthy. So they killed him before it can come out. I got a hold of the remix. He was sitting up in the hospital watching his life beep away, tubes up his arms and nose. Doo, doo, doo.
Yeah, but
girls came to visit him. They hung a cinnamon roll with string and waved it over his nose. Look at poor Biggie. Let's see if we can wake him up. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Music came on. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Sweet rose, sweet rose, don't go. He smelled it and woke up. Surgically, One more chance.
What?
Biggie, you got one more chance.
I got to change my diet, you didn't know. First things first, I pop. Eats all the sloppy Joes, donut holes, packs of Oreos. That's the food I like, and don't forget bacon. The vibration, unless it smells like hormones. I eat like boss hog. Heartburn swamps my stomach. Might have to pump it. I'm blunted. I ate cake upside down. I bunt it. White bread always over wheat. All of my meats were cooked kind of greasy. It's dark yellow when I pee pee, because drinking water is quite beseeching. As I lay down, lost like Rob Cramden. Any food for packaging or canning.
Don't see my cakes, don't see my pies. Hit it, go tell your crew, Papa sliced it, then split it in eights. They begin to partake of these whole cakes. How many pastries can flow back? I'm big of oxtails like Orson Welles. I use sausages as throat lozenges. Shit, it says my diet 10 years ago before any show. My belly looks on the verge to blow. Next time that I speak, could never rest. Big your lust, spliff up the herb, never rest. Cause I think I had enough of them cakes plus all the other junk I ate, and I seen the break. Biggie, get off junk food. Oh, it's too late. Junior Mafia, I'm dying. Tupac, I didn't shoot you. Oh, baby, 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 baby.
And that's the Biggie diary.
I like Biggie. Big man. He was real smooth. Especially
yeah, I like him too.
Sliding all the time when you be rapping. Oh, I love Big Man, brother. But and I had a documentary of him before he got killed.
He did a
documentary, yeah.
Oh, and yeah, I meant to get a hold of that. I meant to get a copy of that.
Mark that down, Roski.
Yeah.
Get that.
Yeah.
Need it for the Archibis.
<All right. laughs> Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the show, man. Yeah, definitely gonna be on my to see list.
Yeah, me too.
So, are you gonna do it? How are you gonna do it? Weekly or
Stevie Wonder?
By monthly.
We haven't decided yet how we're gonna do it. You know, we might have a couple of different shows per week in different categories. You know, like I said, we're gonna do the music, we're gonna do the comedy, and Ebony and Ivory side by side. I mean, whatever we do, you know, we're gonna do it. I'll let you know, and you guys just keep your local listeners. You know, go on YouTube, look at Straw with two S's, S-T-R-A-W, Straw 10. Go ahead and subscribe right now. We monetize. I'm gonna monetize it soon, but it'll be cheap. You know, I'm not greedy, but gotta pay the bills, you know. So you know, I like for you all to express my creative endeavors, and y'all be so glad as to give to the cause, cause rent is due. Huh?
So are you on Instagram or Facebook?
On Instagram, I'm at Straw Straaw 1, Straw 1 on Instagram, and Facebook, Patrick Pratt. Go on, follow a brother, send a friend request.
Straw 1.
Straw 1 on Instagram.
That's two yes, A's.
Two A's. Straaw. Yeah, you see me with some red on.
Straw 1. And then you said, what, Pratt on Facebook?
Patrick Pratt.
Patrick, okay.
Patrick. My dad said he named me Patrick because he worked with this German lady, and she had a son named Patrick, and she used to call his name Patrick. Patrick. He thought that was a trip, so he named me Patrick.
Did you ever come into my office at Compton College? One of his nephews, it was his niece or nephew, Geronimo's niece or nephew.
A lot of us went there. I probably came in there one time with Cedric. Remember brother Cedric 2X who passed away back in 2000? Yeah, we and him had the same birthday, May 9th. So, okay. I might have came in here with him and another homie named Alvin Edwards. He just passed away last year. Okay. Rest in peace to the homie. But yeah, man, he's a legend, boy, brother. He's a legend. Yeah.
The legend is still rolling.
Man. So I'm gonna hook up on your Facebook and try to friend you, so I can keep up your posts, and I'm gonna follow you on Instagram.
All right, appreciate that. I'll follow back.
All right, then, bro.
You follow me, and I'll follow you back.
Yeah. Look, man, it's going to be a great show. I already know. And we could do some collaborations sometime, so that'll be fun, you know, to get some folks in the mix with you.
Yeah, you always having guests, so by the time you be a guest with somebody, you know?
Oh, it's all good. You know, you when you call, it just can't be on a Wednesday or Monday.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
We all sold up on them days. We go weekly, so.
Yeah, and Tuesday now, you got us on Tuesday for the book thing.
Yeah, but we're gonna surprise him with that one, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Whenever you call me, I'll be there. I'll be around.
I'll always be around.
Uh-huh. Classic music, man. Love the music.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, we're going to wrap it on up, fellas. It was beautiful as always, Straw. Glad to have you.
I'm looking forward to your show.
Oh, man. Thanks for the encouragement. Thanks for the platform, man.
So I appreciate you coming on here. You know,
appreciate you having me, brother.
Debuting some of the things that you're going to be doing, and it's all going to be good, man. And so, look, on next week, we got Harold Welton, and I'm about to share the screen so I can show you guys what we did with him on Conscious Corner with Professor Rod and historian Joe Hembrick. We had Harold Welton on February 21st, not too long ago, and this brother has a wealth of information. He was an advocate for Rochelle St. Q. McGee, one of the Professor Rod. What he was with
Soledad Seven, with George Jackson them and Jonathan Jackson them.
Yeah, so he's advocating for him to get out of jail along with his organization. I spoke with him a couple of days ago, and we don't have the topic yet, but we'll have the topic pretty soon, and he's on next Wednesday. Professor Rod, who do you have coming on?
Well, I think we're going to have Ronnie Foster. I'll call you in the morning as soon as I talk to him again and see if he's going to do it.
Okay.
We'll postpone him. If not, I'll talk to Joe. We'll have somebody. But yeah, might get Glenn McDonald.
Oh man, I've been trying to get Coach. Yeah, he well, I'll let you talk to him. Maybe he'll come on for you. But yeah. So okay.
Well, I want to talk to him about his coaching career with the women, the Sparks.
Yeah.
And what happened to him and with the Boston Celtics when they won the championship that year. He helped them win it, and then they
cut
him. Glenn McDonald.
Oh, Glenn McDonald. Okay. Hey, Amon Ra, you are at Amon Ra _ official.
Yeah.
That's your Instagram.
Amon Ra what?
_ official.
Could be your son. That might be your son.
All right. How about _ Amon.Ra _?
No, I'm just on the Amon Ra.
Well,
on my Instagram, you saying, or Facebook?
Yeah, Instagram.
Instagram. I don't know. I got an account. It's just Amon Ra.
Well, I'll wait to you. Let me request.
Yeah. I'm going to do it soon as we get off. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so we will meet again. This is the Conscious Corner. And the CEN show, each one teach one. All right. Have a good evening.
All right. Peace.